Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 11. Read about 6-7 verses there, and then go to Genesis 3 and begin at the first verse there. Amen. Good again to have everybody today. We love you all very much. Amen. From the bottom of our hearts, we appreciate you this morning. Amen. And thank the Lord. Amen. For his goodness and for the opportunity. I don't ever want to take for granted the opportunity to be in his presence, but I don't want to take for granted the opportunity to stand, amen, to be chosen, to give his word, to bring forth, amen, what the Lord would like to speak to his people today, amen, praise God. Nehemiah 4, verse 11, Genesis 3, verse 1, everybody got it, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have a Bible in your hand, amen, we'll have it on the wall. Nehemiah 4, 11 says this, and our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times from all places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burden with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Amen. We're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord some praise right now for his word. Amen. Come on. Let's exalt him. Amen. Praise God for his glorious word. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Be exalted in this house today, God. Hallelujah. Seated. Amen. If the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this thought. Don't let down your guard. Don't let down your guard. Look at your neighbor and say, don't let down your guard. Amen. Don't let down your guard. We understand, amen, that in the process of time in the scripture that Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Babylonians. And the Jews had been taken into captivity, amen, for about 70 years or so, amen. And they were taken into the land of the Persians, amen. And while they were in captivity, there was a man born, a baby born, whose name was Nehemiah. Nehemiah was born while they were in captivity. And the Bible tells us that as Nehemiah grew, amen, that he became the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes. Artaxerxes was the king of Persia. He was a Babylonian king. Amen. Nehemiah, being born a Jew, amen, but he had made himself available and had prospered, amen, into, praise God, the cupbearer for the king of Persia. Now, a cupbearer was a high-ranking official. Amen. That was a position and where he basically served the king, his wine. But one of the greatest responsibilities of the cupbearer was that they were to protect the king's cup to make sure that no poison was put in the king's cup of wine. And so this was a very, very important position. It was a high-ranking official position in the kingdom. And so he was King Artaxerxes' cupbearer. Now, he had great influence with the king because he was near the king just about all of the time. And he had great influence with the king. And the Bible tells us that he asked the king if he could go back after time had went on, amen, and Jerusalem had lain in ruins for decades, amen, and no one had taken any kind of opportunity or any kind of desire to go and to restore or build back Jerusalem. So Nehemiah, now being the cupbearer of the king of Persia, amen, having great influence, he asked King Artaxerxes that he could go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Understand that the walls being built around a city was a sign of safety. It was a sign of security. It was, amen, a city was considered fortified. On the inside of those walls was typically an army. Amen. There was a city. Amen. A government. Amen. And so in order to get past the walls, you typically had to, amen, get past the army. This is why there would be watchmen on the walls. This is why the walls of a city was very important. And so Nehemiah asked if he could go back and begin to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah's mission, news of what he wanted to do, began to spread, amen, among the Persians. And the Bible says that there was a particular man who was a Samaritan by the name of Sanballat. And Sanballat heard that there was a man that had asked the king to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. And the Bible says that this made Sanballat furious. And the Bible says that he became very indignant about this decision to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. Him and another man by the name of Tobiah, amen, they were very upset. And the Bible says that they mocked and they scorned to try and intimidate them from doing it. So they begin to mock the Jews. They begin to scorn them, begin to make fun of them. Sanballat and Tobias, along with others, but they were kind of the ringleaders, if I can say it like that. Amen. They were scorning and they were mocking the Jews for even wanting to attempt to rebuild the walls. Amen. And they were trying to discourage them. They were trying to prevent them from even beginning the work. How many knows that the enemy will oftentimes try to discourage us before we even get started? Amen. But listen to me this morning as I lay this foundation. Amen. It did not work. Amen. It didn't work. So they began to work on rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Now you can understand that if Sanballat and Tobias were already furious and angry that they were going to even think about rebuilding, at the moment they begin to actually do the work, amen, the moment they begin to actually be pick up, amen, the work and rebuild the walls, hallelujah, they became extremely infuriated. They were so angry and they were so upset. First of all, they did not were not successful in intimidating them to even begin the work. Sometimes the enemy will tell us it does no good to pray. He tells us, amen, tries to convince us that it does no good to even go to the house of the Lord. You might as well not go to church today. And if you go, you might as well not lift your hands and praise the Lord. You don't know what God is doing. So many things are just out of sorts and things are just not right. And he'll try to discourage us. But he really gets upset when we pick ourselves back up and we get back into the prayer closet and we pray anyway. He really gets intimidated and aggravated when we get up, we wash our face, we shake ourselves on Sunday morning, and we decide, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I may not feel like it physically, and even I may be a little weary and tired, but I know that That's where I need to be. For in his house, hallelujah, amen, is his presence and goodness and mercy and unity. Praise God. And from unity flows the blessings of God. Hallelujah. So he really gets upset when you decide, you know what? I'm going to go anyhow. I'm going to praise him anyway. I'm going to fast anyhow. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my word anyhow. I'm going to share my testimony anyway. I'm going to tell somebody, amen, how much God loves them. Hallelujah. Whether I feel like it or not. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. He was. They were upset. And so now they put it up. They amped up the discouragement. Amen. They would begin to call them feeble. So now, amen, they're beginning to do the work. And now they're telling them, you're feeble, you're weak. You're not even capable of doing it. Look at you. And they begin to, amen, say a series of things, beginning with the two words, will they? Amen. They begin to say, will they, amen, offer sacrifices? Amen. We know that offering sacrifice, the temple had been destroyed. And they weren't able to go into Jerusalem to the temple to offer up sacrifice, but it was the way that they prayed. It was the way that they called upon the Lord. And so they said, well, will they offer sacrifice? Amen. What they were saying is, are they going to seek God and expect him to miraculously build those walls? Because when they looked at what they had to work with, when they looked at the capability of the Jews, and they looked at the men and the women that decided, you know what? We're going to go back and we're going to build the walls back around the city. Amen. They didn't have a lot of fancy tools. They didn't have a lot of supplies. Amen. But they looked at, when you looked at what they had to work with, it didn't look like they were going to accomplish much. So they began to say, you're weak. You're feeble. You're not capable of doing that. If I told you how many times the enemy told me how incapable I was of fulfilling the plan of God for my life, I would be a multimillionaire. If I told you how many times over my course, amen, of 45 years of serving the Lord, that the enemy told me I was too weak and I was to be able to accomplish what God has spoken over my life and the destiny that he had for me. Hallelujah. I would not even begin to try to imagine the number that would be. But I'm here to tell you this morning, hallelujah, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And when God ordains it, amen, he sustains it. I wish somebody would help me in this place. It may not come the way you think it should, but he'll sustain you, amen, until what he ordains is accomplished. So they said, will they offer sacrifices? Do they think that God's going to miraculously come and build those walls? It said, will they pray, amen, them into existence? Are they going to pray and those walls are going to come to pass? Amen. They said, will they complete it in a day? Amen. Listen, why would they say that? Because it wasn't an easy project. Hallelujah. And they did not have, amen, a lot to work with. And they really didn't have any idea what they were taking on. Has the Lord ever spoke anything to you? Has the Lord ever given you direction? And then when you get into the midst of what he is leading you to do, you're like, I had no idea that this was what it was going to be. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. They didn't have any idea what they were taking on. And so now they were taunting them. Hallelujah. They were saying, you know what? What you think you're going to complete it in a day? What they were saying is, you're not going to get this finished. There's no way that you're going to get this accomplished. There's no way that you're going to get this done. Hallelujah. They said, will they revive stones from this rubble? Amen. It was nothing but a pile of rubble. Amen. It had been set on fire. It had been destroyed. And it had laid desolate for decades. Over 70 years it had laid, amen, in ruins. And they said, do they think they're going to revive any stones? In other words, they said, do they think there's any stones underneath all of that that's going to build back these walls? In other words, they're wasting their time. Oh, it's really cool that you want to do it, and it's really awesome that you want to step out and do for the Lord. Go ahead and do it, but you'll never accomplish what you think you're going to do outside of a miracle. Come on, somebody, do you understand me today? Hallelujah. They didn't even have the right materials or the best materials to get it done. Hallelujah. But sometimes we just got to work with what we got. Hallelujah. Sometimes it may not look like much. Amen. But God can take a little and make it much. We preached on Thursday night, when you have nothing, He's got something. Hallelujah. When you've got nothing to lose, He's got something to give. Zero does not equal nothing. It is a numerical value in, amen, God's number system. Hallelujah. And every place, every mathematical equation has zero as the foundation. So go ahead. If you've got nothing, put your hand in the hand of the one who's got everything. And watch Him do what He said He would do. I just need about three or four more that'll put your hands together. Amen. This is enough to make the enemy nervous this morning. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about a little rat-a-tat-tat. I'm talking about putting your hands together and clapping and making the sound that only God's people can make. That is a sign, a declaration of war and influence. Somebody shout to the Lord today. Hallelujah. It was a lying attack of discouragement. Let me tell you something. A lying attack of discouragement will often have some truth in it.
Okay.
Because the truth was, they didn't have the best materials to work with. Truth was, they weren't going to get it done in a day. Truth was that they were not going to pray to God and He was going to miraculously bring the walls back. That was the truth. Hallelujah. So the enemy will lie and try to discourage you, and he'll use the not truth, amen, to try to be successful. That's why so many fall prey to the discouragement. Hallelujah. But see, when he's telling you, amen, that lie, and while it has some truth in it, see, what the enemy does is he neglects the ultimate truth, that God is with you, and He promised you that He was going to see it through. So I may not have the right material. I may not have a great group of strong men and women, and it may take us a while to get it done. Hallelujah. But God is with us. And if God be for us, who and what can be against us? And He's going to see me through. I would tap your neighbor and say that God's going to make it happen. God's going to make it happen. Hallelujah. You see, the enemy fails to bring the truth because he knows it's the truth that makes you free. Not the facts. See, those were facts. The fact is that it does not look like it should happen. But the truth is, if God said it, it will come to pass. I need somebody to shout, stomp your feet, raise your hands, clap your hand, do something this morning to let the enemy know. Well, hallelujah. See, criticism's tough. Come on, ain't nobody likes to be criticized. I don't care who you are. If you do, you're an oddity. Nobody likes to be criticized. See, criticism is one of the greatest tools of discouragement. Criticism is one of the greatest things that the enemy will use when he's trying to discourage you. See, Tobiah called it their stone wall. He said, oh, let them build their stone wall, because if a fox jumps on it, it'll break down. Did you get that? Oh, you might have a wall built, but somebody else could build that wall better than that. That's the best you got. Why, a fox jumps on that wall, that thing's going to crumble down, let alone fortify a city, let alone keep the enemy out. Come on, somebody, you got to hear me this morning. He called it their wall. See, that was where he made a mistake. He made a mistake calling it their wall, because it was God's work. It was God's wall, not their wall. Come on, somebody. That's where we got to get ourselves in proper perspective. We think it's our ministry. We think it's our decision. We think it's our dream and it's our vision. But it's God's ministry. It's God's vision. It's God's work. And if God designed it and God destined it, hallelujah, go ahead and let the enemy criticize. Hallelujah, I may get it wrong the first time. Oh, come on, somebody, do you hear me? But grace will give me an opportunity, hallelujah, to get it right. So he made a mistake of calling it their wall. It was God's wall. See, here's the thing. This is what ticked Tobias and Sanballat off so much, is they had legal protection from the king to build that wall.
Come on now.
They were given the authority written from the king to build that wall. Oh, somebody got to hear me today. Amen. They were given authority from the king. So they had legal protection. Oh, come on, somebody. And so there was no way that they could be stopped, because there was no higher rule at that time than the king. Oh, come on, somebody, you're going to hear me in a minute. Amen. So they had a written legal protection saying, if that I give them permission to build this wall, and they are protected by my kingdom, therefore nobody is able to touch them, nobody is able to hinder them, nobody is able to stop them, nobody is able to attempt and try to bring them, because if they do, they're going to face the consequences of breaking that legal protection. So Sanballat and Tobiah were so ticked off because there was nothing they could do about it. Can I tell you that that's why the smoke in the battle has been thicker? That's why, come on somebody, that's why the warfare amen, in the mind has been greater. That's why, amen, the circumstances coming against you has been greater, because there's nothing that the enemy can do. He has no authority to stop you. So all they could do was stand back and taunt them, criticize, use their mouth and say negative things. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? So all the enemy can do, hallelujah, is lie to you and criticize you and try to discourage you, but he can't put a hand on what you're doing. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Why? Because we got legal protection by the ultimate authority in the universe, and his name is Jesus. Come on, do you hear me? We got, amen, the ultimate protection by the blood of Jesus. We have been deputized, authorized, and officially given the right. So Sanballat and Tobias had no authority. Why do we give the enemy any authority? It's the question of the ages. It's so, you know, and it's funny, because you hear, you know, you hear people talk, myself included, will say, we'll pray for me. The enemy's telling me this. Okay. Then what's the problem? The enemy keeps telling me I'm going to die. Okay. You see the problem with that?
Right.
First of all, it's the enemy. So that means it's a, you said, well, I'm sick and I got this symptoms. Okay, that's a little bit of truth. But the fact, the real truth is that God is your healer. He is your deliverer. And that God has power over death and life. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? But he's given it to you, amen, in your tongue. Oh, somebody help me. See, the first problem is the devil is saying. And so while there might be a little bit of truth in it, the second problem is you're even considering it to be valid. You're even saying, I need you to pray for me because the enemy is just tormenting me. He's telling me this and telling me that. Okay, why don't you tell the enemy to shut your mouth? Why don't you? I don't know how to. Yeah, you do. You've been given the authority. You just keep on building the wall. You just keep on praying. You just keep on doing what God has said. Somebody don't hear me today.
Amen.
So, they have no authority. So what did Nehemiah do? He's like, well, guys, you know what? You're right. I don't know, man. I don't see very many us getting very many good stones out of this pile of rubble. I don't know, guys. Mary over there. I don't know. I'm gonna stand here. Now look at Samuel over there. Dude, he's pushing 60. See, here's the thing. When I turn 60, I want to be pushing it, not it pushing me. That's the thing. So as long as I'm pushing 60, then we're good. And when 60 starts pushing me, then I'm in trouble. Come on. And so Nehemiah said, well, guys, I don't know, man. That's taking off a long time. It's hot. And they just won't leave us alone. They just are relentless in making their comments every day. They're showing up. And they're trying to get me to come down and talk to me. So, guys, why don't we just take a break? I'm going to hang there, but if you don't feel like it, you've got permission to leave your post. No. Nehemiah didn't say none of that. He prayed. That's what you do when you don't know. You pray. When you can't see, you pray. When you don't understand, you pray. When you can't feel it, you pray. So Nehemiah prayed. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. He prayed. And the Bible says, I love this. The Bible says Nehemiah prayed. Because here's what I'm telling you. They were getting discouraged. They were getting weary of the taunting and the criticism along with the work. It was not an easy task. You know, they didn't have pallets of stones, and they didn't have buckets of mortar, and they didn't have, amen, these fancy tools. They didn't have all of this stuff. Amen. Out there, just waiting, just needing somebody. Okay, guys, I need another pile of stone over here. They had to dig through the rubble. Amen. And pull out the good stones. Amen. I can just imagine about every fourth stone. Amen. Might have been good. And so they had to go through the garbage. They had to dig through some stuff to get it. Amen. And so they were naturally physically tired. Amen. But how many knows that when somebody, in your ear, amen, saying stuff, hallelujah, it gets old, it gets to you. Come on, somebody, and if you're not careful, you can begin to listen to what they're saying, amen. The Bible says, amen, that a nagging woman in a house is like a constant drip of a faucet. That's marriage counseling there. You didn't pick up on that. Hallelujah. So they were weary. They were getting discouraged. Anybody besides me ever get discouraged?
Amen. Amen.
Come on, it's all right to be discouraged. You don't fail and you're not going to hell because discouragement shows up and because you begin to take some time. Amen. It's you just can't identify with that. You got to discern the discouragement. You got to discern. Come on, hallelujah, praise God. But listen, amen. They were discouraged, but the Bible says, I love this, that when Nehemiah prayed, they began to have a mind to work. They began, things began to shift. Amen. That discouragement began to leave them. Strength began to come back to their body. The vision began to become renewed. Somebody hear me. Hallelujah. And they were able to work again. That's why the enemy don't want you praying. That's why the enemy don't want you fasting. That's why the enemy don't want you showing up. Hallelujah. Even if you have to be 45 minutes late, show up anyhow. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. The enemy will try to tell you, you know what? It ain't no use. It ain't worthless. It ain't worth it. Amen. What if you, amen, you went to go to work when he said there ain't no use to go to work today. You're making money, but it ain't enough to miss. So listen, it's no use. You wouldn't have a job for very long. Come on, somebody, you make a commitment. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Praise God. So that they begin to, he doesn't want you to pray because that's going to cause a change. That's going to cause a shift. Hallelujah. When you wake up in a panic and you wake up and you feel like, hallelujah, that circumstances have sucked the breath out of your lungs. What do? You don't pace the floor. You don't worry. You don't fret. You don't begin to speak it out loud. You begin to find a place and you begin to call the name of the Lord. And you begin to be reminded, I got legal protection from this. I'm protected by this. There ain't a thing the devil can do. I done got up and woke up. My feet have hit the floor. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm born again. I'm a blood-bought child of the God that I serve. And there ain't a thing the devil can do to stop me from moving today. Come on, somebody. Do you understand me this morning? I'm trying to help you today. I'm just laying a foundation. It didn't change the mind of the enemies. That's why we quit praying. Because we pray, and we're praying for the enemy to go away. Because he's been there enough to bring discouragement. And when we're starting to look at, the more you hear, you think you're going to build a wall with that rubble, the more you hear that, and the more you dig, and the less stones you find that are usable, you're like, yeah, you know. Come on. How many stones we found today? Good Lord. Are we ever going to get this done? Is it ever going to be different? Is it ever going to be the way God said? Is it ever going to happen the way I see it? Come on, somebody. Who I'm talking to today, but God does. And because the enemy is still there when we come out of our secret place and he's still running his mouth, we get discouraged. Because we thought we were going to change the enemy's mind. You ain't going to change his mind. He hates you. He detests the fact that you have something he can't have. You have access into the kingdom throne room of God, and he lost access. He can roam around in the heavens, and he can get up in there, but he cannot be in the presence, and he knows what happens. He's been there. He knows what happens in the presence of God. He knows what it sounds like when those cherubim's wings are clapping and flapping around. Amen. The throne of God and the glory of the Lord. Amen. And they're crying, holy, holy, holy. He understands the essence of the glory of the presence of the Lord. That's why he don't want us in there. That's why he don't want us to go in there. So he ain't going to shut up, but you got to keep putting up. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? They didn't change the mind of the enemies. Amen. But they were now strong and strengthened to continue their work. There's times the enemy will flee. I just heard somebody say, well, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Well, what you doing? Come on, you understand how simple the truth is, but yet we sit and listen. You're not going to change the enemy's mind. He's going to show back up the moment you hit a pothole and your tire blows, bam, there it comes. You've already spilled your coffee, you've already burnt your toast, you've already been cussed out, you're already running behind, you already got two different shoes on, you already got the wrong socks on, your pants are inside out, your shirt's inside out, amen, you're already in a tizzy, and then bam, he just shows up and he goes, oh, man, are you with me? That's minor stuff. We're talking spiritual. You barely hanging by a thread. And you show up anyhow. But there he is. Criticizing. Comparing you with sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and that one's ministry and that one's title. Comparing you to everything else. Look, I get it. No one's exempt. The Bible says they got it half finished. Jesus. See, a lot of people get, you know, that's a big accomplishment, getting that wall halfway done with what they had to work with and who they had to do it and what they had to listen to, what they had to put up with. Getting it halfway done, that's a big accomplishment. That'd be a lot getting over there. But you can't relax. You can't take a break, see? They got it half finished. Now the gaps are beginning to be closed. They're starting to make it look like a city again. And it was starting to look like it was going to be livable and things were going to come back to life. Amen. The gaps were getting closed and now their enemies were getting angry. Are you kidding me? I can't believe they haven't given up already. Not only have they built a wall, but now the gaps in the wall are being closed up. See, that's the thing you got to keep in mind. You might be only halfway there, but as long as the gaps are filled and the enemy can't see in and the enemy can't penetrate, hallelujah, you are on your way to complete breakthrough. Come on, somebody, can you hear me? Hallelujah. He wants you to put a stone on that wall. Amen. Get you to knock it back down, fall off of it. Hallelujah. But you stay on there, and whatever you got built is built solid. Hallelujah. It might not be done. It might not be finished. Hallelujah. But the enemy ain't going to take what you already have. Listen, come on, somebody, do you hear me in this place? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now they conspired an attack to create confusion. I'm getting to the crux of my message. Now they conspired an attack. They couldn't take it anymore. When they saw that the wall was actually a wall and that it would stand and withstand, they began to think about and conspire an attack that was going to create confusion because they saw they were serious about doing it. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to get serious about this thing. You've got to get serious about this thing. That's when you show up, you put up, you pray up, you praise up, you do whatever, you pay up, you do whatever you do. Come on. Because they were furious because they were serious about doing it. Well, they got this halfway done and it looks pretty good. We can't let them finish this. Come on, somebody. But Jesus is not only the author.
Come on now.
He's not only where I began, he's also where I end.
Come on,
man.
He doesn't also start something, he finishes something. Come on, somebody, when you hear it. And he's right there, everywhere in between. He's the Alpha, he's the Olive. Amen. Praise God. He's the beginning, he's the end. Amen. He's the top. He's the beginning and the end, and he's everything in between. Are you hearing me? So confusion was the goal. Confusion was the goal. It was going to distract them and take their focus off of God's promises. See, now they know they can't do anything about their working. And they can't distract them from showing up, praying, reading, being in church, doing all, serving, amen, everything that's required. They can't accomplish that. So now they're going to create confusion to get their eyes off of what God has promised. Been there. Running away from that right now. Resisting that right now in the battle that I'm in. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Confusion. Confusion to try and get them off of God's promises. Because if you lose sight of the truth, you're finished. You are going to quit. You are going to give up. You are going to let somebody take advantage of you. You're going to take the short way out. You're going to take, amen, the wrong way. You're going to take a shortcut. You're going to do whatever it takes just to say you got it done. Come on, somebody. If you get your eyes off of the truth, amen. The Bible says, nevertheless, they prayed and they set a watch. Now they're not only working, they're not only building, they begin to pray. Now they begin to set a watch. Because they're plotting. They're plotting. And so like, you know what? We've got to set a watch. In other words, they begin to guard the wall day and night. They begin to guard what they accomplish day and night. Are you kidding me? We're already tired. We're already weary. We're already aggravated. We already got to listen to the enemy. We already don't have enough to work with. Now you want us to set up, take turns sitting up day and night watching for the enemy? You want to take my sleep? Hey, God, I'm just so tired. But you're going to be waking me up at 2 o'clock and asking me to pray for. Well, God will understand. So they're like, now we gotta do this. If you want to keep what you got,
come on now,
and pursue what's left, mm-hmm, you're going to have to set a watch. You're going to have to guard some things. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. See? They began to guard the wall. See, there was discouragement from Judah on the inside. Their strength was failing. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So much rubbish that they had to clean up and haul away. Think about this now. I really didn't think about this as many times as I've preached from this particular portion of this story. I never really thought about this until today. But this rubbish, this pile of rubble, the stone and all, had been laying in ruins for almost 100 years. And we get in our mind that, you know, that it was just a rock, and you've seen anybody ever seen a stone building torn down or concrete be broken up and a pile of rubbish. And we get in our mind that that's what it was, but this, think about this. The Persians, their enemies, considered Jerusalem done.
Yeah.
Over. It will never be rebuilt. They're working for us now. We're just going to coexist together. And we're going to do this thing. So not only was the rubbish there from the ruins and the stone and the rock, but people over those decades saw it as a trash heap. So they threw other trash on there. So not only did they have to dig through the rubble, they had to go through somebody else's trash.
Well, man.
Come on, you got to put up with some stuff. You got to go through some stuff. You got to deal. Come on, somebody help me. Hallelujah. We don't like. So they're like, we gotta go through everyone else's trash. Have you ever dug a dumpster? I haven't willingly, but I've been forced to. Have you ever lost something and you take it out the trash and you open up the trash? I have a weak stomach. Just smell will make me vomit. Just the right smell will just. My gag reflex is fierce. If I'm going, you're going to know it. Everybody in the house is going to know that it's happened. Amen. Anybody that's ever lived with me understands that. But I've had to go back and open trash because I thought I lost something valuable. And you start digging through somebody else's stuff, something that someone else threw away. And you understand what I mean? So think about that. They're like, we have to dig through and haul away all of this other trash. Not just the wall rubbish, but other trash has been thrown there. And so as that rubbish was removed, see, here's the thing now. Keep in mind, the piles and the heaps of rubbish. Every bit of that they would remove before they got the wall built made the city more vulnerable to the enemy. Does that make sense to you? So there was piles high of rubble and rubbish. So the more they dug through it, the more the enemy could go over it. Are you with me? I could preach so many places in here. And so they knew that it just made the city more vulnerable. But see, here's the thing. The devil knew this discouragement. The devil knew the discouragement that was in their minds on inside, if I can say it like that. Inside Judah, he knew the discouragement. So he set the attack. He set the attack from the enemy. And they knew the only way to stop them was to kill them. Now, when you get to that point, when the enemy knows he ain't going to stop you from showing up, he ain't going to stop you from praying, he ain't going to stop you from doing what you need to do, when you get stuff accomplished and you're halfway there and you're filling the gaps, amen, and the enemy can no longer have access, he can no longer give your prayer time, your prayer life. He can no longer affect you in reading and studying the word. He cannot no longer hinder you from showing up. He can no longer sit and keep you from lifting your hands. So many of you sit in the service with the glory of the Lord manifested and don't lift your hands because the enemy brings confusion and discouragement in your mind.
Amen.
So the only thing left is to kill you. The only thing left is to completely annihilate you. Are you with me? That's where they were at. And here's what I want to get to. And Nehemiah said this of the enemy. He said, they won't know anything. Here's what the enemy is saying. They're not going to know anything until we get in the midst of them. They're not going to know what hit them until we get in the midst of them. Nehemiah said, they're saying they won't know anything until they get in the midst of us. Don't you hear me on that?
Come on, Pastor.
Now let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 that we read to you. Some of you are probably thinking, where is he going with that? I want you to notice something. That serpent wasn't just in Eden.
Yeah.
He wasn't just in the city. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't just in the garden of Eden. He was in the midst of the garden where the tree of knowledge of good and evil was located. So he wasn't just in the city. And he wasn't just in the garden.
Come on,
he was in the midst of the garden where the knowledge and the wisdom. Come on.
Yeah.
Where the remedy was at. He was in the midst of that. See, here's the thing you got to understand. The attack against mankind wasn't through external means.
Come on now.
Some of you might get this tomorrow. Hopefully by next Sunday. At the longest. But the attack against mankind was not through external means. He gained access to the middle of the garden. So he was able to work against them from within. I'll let you back for about 30 more seconds. He wasn't just in the city. He wasn't even just in the garden in the close vicinity. He got access into the very midst or the middle. And there, he began to create. That is where the attack began. See, Adam was supposed, we know that Adam was supposed to keep or guard the garden, but he failed. If Adam would have been guarding the garden, the snake would have never got access into the midst, to the middle of the garden. There was a breach in the wall somewhere.
Yes. Amen.
There was a gap somewhere that hadn't been closed up. Remember what we said about that half wall? There was no gaps left. It might have only been a half wall, but it was standing. It was going to do what it was built to do. I need you to help me right now. There was no enemy going to get in. Hallelujah. You can't have my family. You can't have my breakthrough. You can't have my finances. You can't have my health. You can't have my mental capacity. You can't have my emotions. You can't have my joy. You can't have my peace. You can't have my hope. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. There was a breach in the garden, and the snake got in there because Adam failed to guard the garden. Gaps were created. The hedge was let down. Every time you heed to the enemy's lies and you allow him to convince you that what he's saying is valid, and you respond based on his lie, you're creating a gap in your hedge. You're giving access to the enemy. I know I've shared this before. I know I have more than one time, but when I first got set free and deliverance, amen. And amen. I told you, got saved at 15 and got delivered at 30. Amen. Praise God. And I used to pray in my half bath. We lived in an apartment, and the only place I had any place to pray was in the half bath. Amen. Praise God. And I would get up and pray, and I would see, amen, this. Sinister hand. It looked like almost like a claw, but it was a hand, fingers, and it had long nails, and it was just nasty. And I would see that hand under the crack in that door, going back and forth, trying to get access under that door, trying to get access. And for a little bit, amen, it concerned me for a little bit, amen. But then the Lord spoke to me. He said, even if he gets access, I have anointed you, and you will slip right out of his grip. Amen. That hand went away, and I never saw that hand again. Come on, somebody, you understand what I'm saying? You cannot allow a gap to where the enemy can gain access. You've got to guard your stuff. You got to guard. And so that Adam let there be a gap. So see, Sanballat wanted to confer with Nehemiah on what he was doing. He said, come down from there.
I just want to talk.
Yes, he does. But me too.
I just want to talk. I'm just curious at what you're doing. He said, come on, just come down off the wall so we can talk.
Come on, somebody, are you hearing me? But Nehemiah refused to come outside of the walls. He said, oh no, I'm not coming down there to you, and you're not coming in here to me. That's the reason why you want me out there so you can get in here. But Nehemiah refused to come outside, amen, from inside of the walls. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. He knew what the enemy was trying to do. He knew that the enemy was just trying to create confusion, because they said, if we can just get in the midst of that, if we can just get on the other side of that wall, will create confusion, and they'll get distressed, that they'll get their eyes on somebody. Do you hear that? Can I tell you that the unforgiveness? Well, look at them. They ain't got nothing to do with it. They didn't build the gap. You did by accept. Come on, somebody. Do you hear that? That's why the enemy wants to work internal. And these external things that we got a problem with, it's when the enemy gets on the inside. See, it's not the fact that he torments you and he taunts you and he hangs around your house. It's when you let him get in the inside. It's when you let him get in the mind. It's when you convinces you that praying is not necessary, when fasting is not vital, when he convinces you that it's okay just to hang out in your recliner instead of showing up at the house of God. Come on, somebody, do you understand? Hallelujah, I'm not being dogmatic. I'm trying to help you understand that when the enemy gets on the inside, that's when he's going to begin to create confusion. And the Bible says that he is the confusion, so you cannot let down your guard. You can't let down your guard because the enemy will get in. See, his preferred tactic was to get in the midst of God's people and get in the midst of what God was doing and destroy it from within. But Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17 in Nehemiah 4, pull that back up. Says they was building on the wall, and they that bear the burdens will carry the loads with those that laid it. Everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other they held a weapon. Help me, Jesus. Come on. They worked carrying loads, but they did that with one hand while they kept a weapon in the other. So they worked and they guarded at the same time. You cannot let down your guard. You cannot let the enemy, if you give the enemy one day, he's going to want two. If you give him 2 days, he's going to want three. If you give him one opportunity, he's going to want two. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. You got to keep a weapon in your hand at all times. What is our ultimate weapon? It's this word. But we got to, God's given us a lot of things to, amen, to fight with. We've got to guard and work at the same time. The purpose was to be prepared in case the enemies tried to get over the wall. To be prepared. See, sometimes the enemy gets the best of us because we ain't prepared. And the preparation is not God's responsibility. It's ours. Come on, somebody. Don't you hate when a storm shows up and they didn't get it in the forecast? You watch the weather app. I watch the weather app. You watch the weather app and there's not a raindrop on the screen, and then all of a sudden... Well, I wish somebody would have told me about that. I wouldn't have planned a day outside. Come on. You got to be prepared. Because he'll show up. You give him the least access to the midst, internal, he's going to take it. See, here's the thing. Too often we get focused on our work so intently that we forget to guard the work.
Amen.
I've been so busy doing ministry that I neglected my internal, my prayer life. Come on. Oh, you're busy doing God stuff. The enemy's looking for, he's looking for a hole, he's looking for a gap, he's looking for a breach in the wall. See, that's when the adversary is able to sneak in. When we get so focused on the work, when we get so focused on what God's not doing, instead of what he's already done, oh, come on, it creates a gap. And then the enemy slithers in. And then he'll show up. And man, you'll think it's your Prince Charming or that you're Snow White. Nope. Come on. Hallelujah, because you're so focused on, but you didn't have it instead of what you had. Oh, come on.
Amen.
And then the enemy creates confusion and said, well, if God really was going to do what I said, wouldn't you have it? Wouldn't it be there? Wouldn't it be done? Come on, somebody. I'm talking from experience. I'm just blowing smoke. I'm telling you. I've been there. I've done that. Yeah. See, that's when the adversary wants to sneak in. See, we see this in Matthew chapter 13. I'm about to bring it to a close. With Jesus' parable of the sower. And sometimes we take this out of context a lot. And we use it out of context. But in the parable of the sower, the Bible says that the tares were sown with the wheat. That they went into the midst of the wheat and they sowed the tares. Now, it's been a while since we preached. Tares look like wheat. But wheat, when it gets ready to harvest, it bends. When it's full and ready to harvest, it bends. The tares will stand straight up, unmoved. On the outside, the wheat and the tare look almost identical. But when you open up the covering, the seed and the tare is black. But the wheat is golden. So they look alike. So Jesus said in the parable here that they came in the night under the cover of darkness and they sowed the tares in the midst of the wheat. Not so they could coexist like they're screaming at us in today's culture. I'll preach on that later. This coexistence stuff is non-biblical. It's impossible. You either worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or you don't worship God at all.
Come on now.
He's the only true living God. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me?
Amen.
We can't worship a way. We got to worship the way. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, when we allow any other way to God except for Jesus, then it varies by our mood. It varies by what emotion is happening. It varies on how our hormone level is. Well, today I'm going to get to it this way, and it's going to get to God this way today. The only way is through Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So they did, you know, and that's what we think. We think, oh, you got to let the wheat and the tares grow together, and God will do the separating. So this, you know, just let it be. It's not what this parable was trying to show us.
Right?
It wasn't about coexistence. It was the tares were sown in under the cover of darkness in the middle of the night when nobody was paying attention. When nobody was guarding the garden, come on. They sowed the tares so that the tares could gain a foothold and begin the process of stealing the harvest. That's what the enemy will do if he gains access to the midst, to the things that matter. This stuff on the outside. Look, we got to get over the fact that somebody talked about We got to get over the fact that somebody done said something about us. Lord have mercy. Thank God I'm over that stuff. All right, people can say what they want. That's one thing 60 will do for you. Ain't gonna change nothing about what God is and who God is in your life or him. You gotta get over what somebody said, what somebody else is doing. We gotta get over whether somebody speaks to us or not. We gotta get over whether we're acknowledged or we're not. We gotta get over that stuff, because that's when the enemy comes in and he sows the tares that try to steal the harvest. He gets into the internal, so then he'll convince you to pull away from what matters. Are you with me? I told you I'm getting ready to close, and I am. Look at your neighbor and say, don't let down your guard. We got to always be on guard, or our work may come to nothing. If they would have come down off of that half wall, the enemy would have taken over that half wall, destroyed everything that they had done, and their work would have been in vain. Furthermore, they would have killed them, and then there would have been no one to build the wall. Are you with me? The enemy wants to kill your influence. He wants to kill your peace. He wants to kill, amen, your desire. He wants to kill your vision. He wants to kill your purpose. Don't be coming off the wall.
Amen.
Don't let your guard down. Don't let him get into where it matters. See, Adam was never given permission to not work or guard. He was never given permission not to work or guard. And some of Nehemiah's men, as they come to the music, stood guard at all times. And the Lord spoke to me when I read that and was preparing this, going over this, preparing this for this morning. And I saw that the Lord spoke to me and said, when you feel like you can't pray, or your prayers are not availing, somebody's always praying.
Oh, amen.
Somebody's always going. Somebody's always coming. Somebody's always praying. So some of his men stood guard at all times. But we have to guard and not let down. We cannot let down. We've got to, because the enemy wants in the midst. It's not this external stuff. Can I say something here? Help me, Jesus. Somebody that loves me, pray for me. Liz, not the sanctuary. God's got a plan. God's got everything. Everything that's going on in the political world. Can I tell you that the enemy within the body of Christ, the enemy does not care who you vote for. But if he can get us on the inside to fight and fuss and stay divided and be confused, that's what he wants. Come on, somebody. And then you're like, I'm not asking you to believe it. You just have to listen to me. If he can get on the inside, and he can divide, and he can cause confusion, and he can bring chaos. See, when it gets in him, it begins you to focus, and it gets your focus off of what God has said, and you're looking at everything you don't have, and you're looking at the incapabilities and how long it's taking and everything. He gets your eyes off of God's true promises, that it causes you confusion, because you're like, God, I don't understand why this is happening and that's not happening, and this is that and this is thus. I'm confused, God. I don't understand. He can get in the midst. It's not this stuff that's going on out here. It's that he can get in the middle. That's why we can't relax. Because the enemy is always seeking to discourage you. But
Let me say this and leave you with this before we change the order. It's also important to know who labors among you. It's also important to know who labors among you so they don't get in the midst and create chaos and confusion. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Don't let down your guard. The enemy, it's not these external things. Matters not that he's in the vicinity. It's when he gets on the inside. That's when he gets your marriage. That's when he gets your mind. That's when he gets your health. That's when he gets on the inside. Stand with me across this place. I don't know who the Lord's talking to today. But it matters. It matters whether you guard. Work with one hand. I can say it like this: a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. That you can, as you're working, you can be ready to defeat the enemy and keep the enemy from breaching the wall and getting on the inside, because it's in the midst is where he thrives. That's where he thrives. So as they begin to worship this morning, and you're here in this sanctuary, and we have your attention. If you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus, you cannot unequivocally say that he is your Lord and Savior. And that if you would leave this world today, that you would undoubtedly, your spirit would go to be with God. And I'll ask you to come today. I'm going to ask you to make a decision that's going to change the rest of your life. I'm going to ask you to come and surrender your life to Jesus. See, he's that legal protection. He's that authority that you have to be who God's called you to be. To do what God has called you to do. So if you're in here today and that's you, I want you to come. That would be if you've never been saved. If you've been saved and you've walked away from the bounds of his covenant. Whichever it is, I'm going to ask you to come. Listen, we're in a fight for our life. This thing is more real today than it's ever been in my lifetime. In my lifetime, this thing is more real than it's ever been today. Laying down your life, surrendering to Jesus, is more real today than it's ever been, as long as I've been alive. Staying committed, staying purposed, remaining faithful, is more real right now than it's ever been in my lifetime. Because Jesus is closer to returning the second time than he has ever been in my lifetime. And the enemy knows if he can get us off the wall, that he'll breach the wall. If you're in here today Maybe you had that conversation with the enemy. Maybe you had that conversation with the enemy while we were singing, while we were worshiping. Maybe you had that conversation with the enemy on the way to church this morning. And all the things that the enemy said. Maybe you're here and you are experiencing discouragement. Maybe you're here and you say, I've let down my guard. And the snake has got in the midst. I see it now. I realize that I've had revelation since this message. But I want to strengthen. What did Nehemiah do? He prayed. I want you to come. We want to pray with you. Come on, quickly, quickly, quickly.